Hello and welcome to the new and hopefully improved Columboys, the podcast all about the rich, creamy, aromatic world of Lieutenant Columbo. From Chicago, I'm Mac, and as always, joining me via satellite from Seattle is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Mac.
Hey, this is the first time we've done this podcast not being in the same room, and it's weird. I'm used to literally sitting across the table from you and having a conversation, and now I'm having a conversation with myself, which is a little strange.
Yep, I am staring into the middle distance as if you were still here, buddy. So, right back at you.
Yeah, I'm staring at a sound booth, which is, that's fun.
Well, at least your sound is going to be better.
Yeah, hopefully.
No, there's no hopefully. It will be.
It will be.
You're in a sound booth.
It's going to be very nice. Get all my bases, all the riches, the lows, the highs. I know a lot about sound. This week, we're taking a look at Season 8, Episode 2, Murder Under Glass. This episode stars French heartthrob Louis Jourdan as a restaurant critic who murders a restaurateur who threatens to expose his review kickback scheme. Jourdan was born in Marseille, France, and worked as an actor in French cinema right before the outbreak of the Second World War. When France was invaded by the Germans, he refused to appear in Nazi propaganda films and spent a year on a chain gang as a result. After his release, he went back to making films in occupied France, but his father was arrested and then escaped from the Gestapo, and Jourdan's entire family joined the French resistance. Following the end of the Civil War, he returned to cinema, appearing in films such as Gigi and Octopussy. Guy has a real fucking interesting story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Octopussy is where I know him from.
Yeah.
Also did not know that about him.
Yeah, he had I know. I was looking into it this morning. It's very interesting. Very seems like a cool guy. And
yeah,
great.
Kudos to him.
Great in this episode.
Yeah. Total asshole.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but in the best way.
Right.
Also appearing in this episode is the real life Mrs. Columbo herself, Shira Denise, as well as France Nguyen, who starred as Liat in South Pacific. And appearing in this episode is the singularly named Mako, who voiced Aku on Samurai Jack and Uncle Iroh on Avatar The Last Airbender, and that's only scratching the surface of his decades-long career playing minor but memorable roles in over 100 projects. Did he appear on MASH? You bet your ass he did. 4 separate roles on the show MASH. yeah, so that's...
He's got a real voice.
Yeah,
I'm
he's
impressed.
Got an amazing voice. This was a really good episode of Columbo.
It was a wild one. It was, yeah. I mean, it could have also been titled Columbo Eats His Way Through
Town. Oh, yeah.
Town.
So this is a fun new thing. I have taken the time to actually create a little montage of... now that I have a little more time to do pre-production and everything, since we're watching these separately, I created a little montage of every time. This is not every time Columbo talks about food. This is just a taste, a merest sampling of the food talk in this episode.
And reading this way, but I didn't have a chance to go home, and Chef Alberti was good enough to pair me a bowl of his Geppino. It's terrific. He uses a fresh, big, grated lemon peel to give it that extra zing.
Is that galantine of duck?
Yeah, this is my galantine.
You know, I've read about these in the cookbook, but I have never actually seen one. And those black buttons, are they real truffles?
Why, of course.
But of course.
Green mosaics, yeah. Pistachios.
And there's another kind of meat there inside.
Mm-hmm. Ham.
It's...
Yep, that's ham.
That's ham.
Champignon farci au crabe.
Are those made with a bechamel sauce?
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to enjoy
obsessed with sauce
this
in this
very
episode
much.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Caviar, smoked salmon,
and foie gras. Well, thank you very much.
Does this feel ripe, sir? I don't think it's squishy enough.
It's ripe.
Like
that
mango
dim
there.
Sum reminds me of the kind I used to have at home.
At home, Lieutenant?
Right around the corner from Chinatown was an Italian neighborhood when I was a kid. I bet I had more egg rolls than I had cannelloni. What is that called?
Raw fish.
In Japanese, it is fugu sashimi.
Sashimi.
A delicacy. Gee, that's funny. I thought that the fugu was going to taste like tuna fish.
Come on.
This was his favorite coffee cake.
This is the weirdest one.
Hey, wait,
let's talk about it in a second, but this is the straight up the weirdest one.
Oh, this is sensational.
Scrumptious.
Let me help you, man. This is the best cake I have ever eaten.
Why?
Scallops. Slightly seasoned with salt and white pepper.
Somehow it looks better on veal than black pepper.
Could this dish of yours possibly be escalope de veau au cèpe?
Well, Pop, just call it scallopini.
Lieutenant, you forgot your fortune cookie.
To tell you the truth, ma'am, I could use some good news.
God, there's so much food.
So much food. There's way more food.
Cheer up.
In this episode.
There is more than one fish in the sea.
Oh.
And none of it's chili.
No. And none of it is relevant.
Yeah, well,
absolutely none of it is relevant to the episode.
They just somebody just wanted those dishes made so that they could eat them.
I think, you know, the way this episode ends is with sort of a dinner scene and then a montage of Columbo eating. And I think this must be Peter Falk probably talks about food constantly, would be my guess. And they wrote an episode where he could just talk about food the entire time. Because he was a cook in the Merchant Marines,
right.
And he probably loves to cook. I mean,
he cooks on camera.
This is the third episode where we have seen Columbo prepare a dish. He made an omelet for a grieving woman in Murder by the Book. Mm-hmm. He appeared in Double Shock was the one, I believe. Was that the one with... Our Columbo is our icon is taken from he cooks something on television. This also is the second television cook guy that Columbo has caught. So it's like I think three writers, literary agents, two cooks.
Two cooks, a former secret agent.
They're kind of running out of stuff, I think. It's kind of going back to the well a little bit.
You think? I mean, there are some, there are some things in this I was like,
yeah. So okay. I guess we should probably talk about the murder a little bit. So, considering what our podcast is. So this episode, Columbo, I don't know why I'm starting with him. He doesn't start with him.
It starts with the murders.
It starts with the murders, but it starts with Louis Jourdan, who is playing
Paul Gérard.
Delightfully slimy restaurant critic who has a television show. And I guess it's also, I don't know if he just, does he do criticism in paper or just on television?
It seems like he writes columns.
Yeah.
And then on television, he does recipes. He is like a TV chef.
Yeah, but
he also seems to review restaurants.
I think it must also be on the radio, though, because Columbo is talking about, there's a part
where
he talks about how he was in the car listening. So it must be...
listening to the episode.
This guy's like everywhere. Yeah. This man is the hugest celebrity in L.A.
That no one has ever heard... No, I mean, Columbo's heard of him,
yeah.
Right? Columbo's always heard of them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he knows that he was just listening to him last week.
Yep.
So
he missed the last part of that recipe.
Paul Gérard, it turns out, is blackmailing restaurateurs for good reviews. He is making this guy Vittorio Rossi pay him 25% of the proceeds of his restaurant, which is insane. Yes,
because margins at a restaurant aren't great.
Aren't great. Yeah, so 25% he has to hand over to this guy. Here is your problem. If you're a blackmailer, don't ask for a quarter of it. Eventually things are going to go badly for that. If you want to
a little lower,
stay under the radar. Just don't get greedy. I mean, if you're a blackmailer, you're already greedy.
Yeah, I mean, this is an uphill battle we're talking about, Mac. That's
true. So he goes to have dinner with Vittorio at his restaurant, and Vittorio, played by Michael Gazzo, is I love him so much. I wish he was in more of this episode because he's
I know,
so
he's
great.
So mad.
He's so wonderful.
But he's so great.
He's furious. They're having dinner and he's just yelling. I brought a clip. I'm going to play this. I might edit it out depending on how the clip plays. But I just got a little clip of this guy yelling at Louis Jordan because it's great.
So.
It seems you do not take seriously what I told you on the phone. I do not require your praise anymore. Not your radio,
so
your television, no more newspapers.
And for the record, this guy isn't mad at this point. He's like,
no,
this is his resting voice.
He's just got this amazing quality of his voice. There's just so much gravel
not
in it.
One penny more. Capito.
This is pretty good.
So it's no more 25% for you, Mr. Paul Gerard. Hey, Mr. Paul Gerard.
Mr. Famous.
I'll tell you what you are.
Haven't you forgotten something?
Proof. I have proof.
No, you forgot the wine.
Yeah, so that's just a wonderful little weird scene with this actor who is in too little of this, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, literally in two scenes.
He's set up, and then he has this dinner scene, and he dies at the end of it. Paul we don't find out as the audience until the very end exactly what he's done, right?
Yeah. They allude to it. We see him.
We see him preparing blowfish.
And he's talking about how poisonous it is.
Right.
And then after that, we see him with gloves, like clearly extracting poison.
Right. But we don't see what he does with it. Like, obviously.
Well, he puts it in a syringe.
We don't see him actually
plant it or do anything with it. But we see very clearly, like, dude has, like, deadly neurotoxin.
Right. Exactly.
So we do know that, like, nobody who is, like, above board is just like, you know what? I'm just going to store neurotoxin, because why not?
Yeah.
It'll come in handy.
Just to have it around just in case.
Yeah, I'll use it to kill rats. Who does that?
Yeah. So he takes this poison over to the dinner. The guy collapses, then Columbo arrives on the scene. And then our episode begins, and Columbo just starts eating and does not stop at all. I was going to say till the end of the episode, but no. The final thing is him eating. That's how the episode ends.
Well, I was going to say, but also, like, when the credits start rolling, it's just images of him eating.
Again.
So, like, even when he is done eating, he is still
eating. He's still eating. He's eating the entire thing. It's crazy.
There's so much eating.
Yeah.
It is amazing. One thing I gotta point out, because I love it so much, is in the early part of the episode, Gerard is doing a photo shoot for crackers.
They're called Bone Snacks.
Uh-huh. And they're so obviously Ritz.
They're Ritz,
like,
crackers,
Yeah, with a rushed, like, logo slapped on the front.
Yeah.
And I love it so much.
They're really great. He's doing it in his own home, this photo shoot. And he's just sort of, like, talking about how much he loves the crackers while posing with them. For, like, there's no reason for him to be talking. Like,
no.
Because it's just a photo shoot. He's not like, there's no video component of this. He's just like,
it's not a commercial. It's just like going to be in a magazine ad.
Yeah. I think it's just to establish how, you know, witty and wonderful he is, but it's like
how very French,
but it would actually, I think, like the photographer would be like, hey, could you shut up? Because, like, all of these photos, your mouth is going to be open, and I just need you to look nice. Because I don't want you making the O position in every single, like, your mouth to be like in an O shape every time, every single time I snap the shutter. So shut the fuck up and hold the crackers up. He's very charming. He's actually wonderfully charming. There is a canonical reason There is an in-episode reason for why Columbo is constantly eating, and that is that this man who was murdered is a beloved restaurant owner. I don't know why he's so beloved. He seems like he would be a nightmare.
He seems real grumpy.
He's like got a hair trigger and just yelling at everybody, including his cousin, the Mario, played by Anthony Alda, who is Alan Alda's half-brother.
Who's really doing his best to be a young man who doesn't speak English
and does a very good job of looking perplexed for most of it.
Oh my god!
Except for the funeral scene.
Thank you.
Did you look at this man's face during the funeral scene? What is he doing?
Amazing.
What is he doing?
No one knows. He is. That is not the expression of someone who is at a funeral for someone they cared about.
No.
He is just like it is. I mean, unless. They are on so many drugs.
Yeah. If you said that there's
they cannot feel anything.
If you said that there's a secret runner where this guy is on like mescaline the entire time, I'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because he is like the face he is looking. He's looking at the ground like he sees two ants fighting, and it's the most like insane thing he's ever seen in his life.
Yeah.
The most intense thing. He just has a look of. Focus more than a look of anything else.
Yeah, like wherever his mark was, like his eyes never left.
Yes.
Like it was just, I'm just going to hold this. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to notice anything else. I'm just going to hold this.
It's amazing because he's not doing anything. And yet he is somehow pulling focus for the entire scene. It's very, like Columbo is doing a physical thing that you actually kind of have to pay attention to figure out what it is. But you're just spending the entire time looking at this guy who's staring away as though he just got back from the trenches and he is shell-shocked. Like, he's just gone.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's very weird. But the rest of them, he looks befuddled in a way that you would expect a young Italian man who doesn't speak much English.
It's just that, that funeral scene, it sticks out so bad.
It really
does.
It's
hilarious, but also it's just like, ooh.
Yeah. But the reason that Columbo is getting all this food is that he's beloved, this beloved restaurateur has been murdered, and all of the other restaurateurs are saying to Columbo, you won't go hungry. We'll feed you, you know, until the day you die.
Yeah, they're basically all like, hey, we really cared about him a lot. He was our buddy.
Yeah.
Here, I want you to have this. Basically saying,
yeah,
find the guy who did this because we all cared about him. And this is how we express our affection.
There's like
feeding the guy who is going to find his murderer.
There's kind of a mob sort of feel to it, especially at the funeral, because I feel like they only hired extras who had just come up off Scorsese films. Like, it's a lot of like big hair, dark glasses, like super kind of rough looking older guys.
Yeah. The extortion for positive reviews was all the money for that was all laundered through basically a fake company.
Yes.
The three of these restaurateurs.
It's not a particularly complex system.
No.
He just had his assistant.
I think they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had his assistant use a pseudonym.
A fake name, go to a bank and open an account, and then just make deposits. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. It doesn't seem like it would be difficult to unravel, and it literally takes Columbo scene.
Yeah.
to
yeah.
Do
it's
so.
Like one scene. And yeah. But the thing that he does at the funeral that I think is clever is that he brings one of those checks.
He just passes it down. Why? If you are trying to do dark money, why wouldn't you just get cash? Why would you have this guy write you checks?
That's so stupid. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not a good way to,
It's
not a good way to launder money.
No, absolutely not.
Arcades are a good place to launder money.
Absolutely.
Because it's a cash business.
I see.
It's laundromats, like too, apparently.
A casino, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So... But Columbo, so Columbo, to unravel this, goes to the bank, which, as we heard a little bit of it earlier, leads to the most baffling inclusion of food in the entire episode, which is bank cake. We need to talk about bank cake.
That was the one that was like, that pushed it too far for me.
Hang on.
You're telling me that the banker
yes.
had a coffee cake that looks like... I mean, it looks like the most elaborate dessert cake ever.
It's so
it doesn't look like normal coffee cake.
We don't even know we're in a bank. All we see is this guy, and he's cutting up a cake, and he gives a slice to Columbo, and then zoom out. We're in a bank, and this guy is saying, we always told Vittorio that if he didn't get into finance, and we wouldn't get into pastries. Ha 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 ha. And it's like, ha ha. Why is there a bank that's well known for cake? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, is it just that they needed food in every scene? I mean,
yeah.
Okay,
fine. I mean, I feel like it's the writer, like, set themselves a challenge when they're like, how can I get Columbo to eat in every single scene? And as you can hear, he did it. You can hear, like, this, so there's the banker that he's talking to who gives him the cake, but then there's also this other banker who comes over to help, and she is, like, she's just enamored with this cake as well, but also it seems like she's never seen the cake before.
Right.
So
I'm like, you work here.
I'm so confused about the origins and the backstory of bank cake.
Yeah, because she looks at it and she goes, scrumptious.
Yeah.
And first of all, that's the kind of word I would expect in Willy Wonka, thank you very much. Yeah. It's just such a weird thing. And then Columbo serves her a slice of
the most amazing cake he's ever had. This bank is famous for cake. What is happening? My world is crumbling around me. My tongue is tying itself into knots because I don't understand bank cake.
No one does, Mac.
If we had fans, I would make a shirt that says bank cake. That's how much I love bank cake.
Oh boy. Well, I mean,
please DM me on Twitter. Please DM me on Twitter if you wouldn't buy a shirt that says bank cake on it.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. And so he finds out in the background of this scene where Columbo eats a cake, he also finds out the name of the fake name, and then he just goes up to Shira Denise's character.
Eve
Plummer, and he just says, is it DeMarco?
Just calls her by the fake name.
Yeah, he just says, so Miss DeMarco, and she goes, yes, and that's it. He figured it out. It took him.
Miss DeMilo, and she goes,
DeMilo,
yes. And then she immediately recognizes that she's been caught.
Yeah.
And I love that she just straight owns up to it.
Yeah, but also it seems like she's not in trouble somehow for committing bank fraud.
You get off the hook.
She later goes to this scene, which is the dinner scene, this very strange scene where Columbo has been invited to this restaurateur's dinner, and they play a song, and I'm just going to play it over the background while we talk, because it is super bizarre and wonderful.
You're a monster. You're a monster.
So this scene is, all that happens, what happens in this scene is not what this music is. So here's this music. What's happening in this scene is that people are bringing out plates of food to give to Columbo.
I don't know why this is
a drum and fife song. It doesn't make any sense.
Because they, I don't know, man. They had Patrick McGoohan on twice, and like, this is, apart from the fact that this is, you know, this song.
Yeah.
This style of music been used in The Prisoner multiple times.
Yeah.
Just not this song. This terrible song that they keep jamming in our faces.
But this is not...
It has nothing to do with the scene.
No.
It's just about
and
putting this music in while we have a
hold
parade
on. Hold on one
of
second.
Food.
There you go. And that's how it ends out. does not
so
take
bad.
Place in Colonial Williamsburg. Does not involve American Revolution, which is what that instrument, that's a fife and drum. That's the American Revolution. Why that instrumentation?
I don't know,
it's
because
so
they
weird.
Thought it was funny as they marched out all of these plates in a montage.
But that is not the worst music cue in this episode.
There is another one. Are you going to do it? I'm going to do it.
So this comes at the tail end of the episode, of the part where Columbo learns, he goes over, meets Mako, who is playing this Japanese businessman who is visiting Paul Giraud.
He's a chef.
Well, yeah. But he's
he,
a Japanese.
He's also a chef.
He's also a chef.
I mean, right. Chef and businessman, yes.
But he's come over to the U.S. to sample American cuisine for writing a book or whatever he's doing. He's just traveling.
Right.
But
Gerard says that he learned how to cut fugu sashimi from this guy.
Okay. All right. I didn't pick up on that.
He says that at the table.
Gotcha.
Before Columbo gets there.
Yeah. So he has also... Fucking this dude, the balls on him to make, he like, why wouldn't you just lay off this stuff? There's so much other, he's showing off, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah. I mean, is that not perfectly clear by this point that he is an awfully arrogant sort of guy?
I guess so. He just doesn't think Columbo will show up.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's the whole point of it is that it's like he's showing off because he thinks he's that good.
Yeah.
That
he's invincible.
Do what he pleases. Yeah.
But he comes over. Columbo has some fugu and then learns the secret that now I think is very common knowledge. But I think at the time it's probably less common knowledge just because Japanese cuisine is much more widely known about in the U.S. now than it was in the 70s. But that fugu, which is a blowfish, if prepared improperly, is a deadly poison that basically, if you have some, you're dead. Like, there's really, there is an antidote, but it's very unlikely that you will be able to get it in time to not be dead.
Yeah.
And in the U.S. in the 1970s, you're dead because nobody has the anti-venom.
Okay, so here. Before you play this music, can I set the stage of what this dinner is like?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So when we see this dinner, it's a low table. So Gerard somehow has a low table and he has, you know, kind of Japanese style seating.
Yes. He has
hired two geishas to play music.
Well, one is playing music. The other one is just kind of sitting there.
Right. Well, she's sitting there and
fanning herself demurely,
geisha, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. And also Eve is there.
Yes.
And then he has a third woman who is serving them, who is also dressed in traditional Japanese garb.
Another, I guess, Japanese woman. Who is assisting with this thing. So yeah.
Yeah. It's like he's gone all out to sort of show off. Like, no, I get Japanese cuisine.
Right. And he says to his friend that he was going to give him a little taste of Japan before he goes off into the U.S., into the wilder world of food.
Yeah, and, one final taste of Tokyo.
Yes. And then his friend is like, I think I'm eating burgers and whatever.
And hot dogs.
And hot dogs, yeah. Yeah, so this is the very end of the scene where Columbo is seeing himself out. We're going
to
get a little bit of
sayonara to both of the geishas, and like the last one where he bows at the one who then.
We're
going to
get a little bit of the audio here, so here we go.
No, Lieutenant, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right, ma'am. As the Chinese say, there's more than one fish in the sea.
Worst. Why?
I hate it so much.
Why?
It's not your theme song. Just stop.
It's so bad. And the Chinese say there's more fish in the sea is that was his fortune. So at least they did set that up. That's not a Confucius say sort of thing.
It's not as bad as that, it sounds out of context. But it is literally the thing that was in the fortune cookie he was having.
Yeah, in the previous scene. Yeah.
Where he was eating dim sum.
Yeah, he was, just like when he was a kid. Now we're just rehashing the montage.
All the food. You knew we were going to talk about the food.
That's true, we are.
That's just this episode. But so, as far as the murder goes, even though they don't show us explicitly how Gerard kills Vittorio.
We don't see it happen, but we do find out how it happened.
We see Vittorio, like, drink from the wine after Gerard leaves and storm around and smash plates and then basically just fall over dead from poison.
Right. And what he's done is he's taken a CO2 bottle opener. These things were very in fashion in the 70s. And what it is it's a very long needle, and you push it through the cork and then press a button, and it shoots CO2 in there, and then the pressure blows the cork out.
So it pushes back on your hand, and you just effortlessly take that cork right out.
Yep. And what he's done is he's taken the blowfish poison and put it inside the tube, the injector, and then switched them, essentially. He just came in, switched those, and then he switched them back when he came into the restaurant.
And the
when Columbo calls him back to the restaurant.
Right, because, like, so he gives Vittorio a posthumous award at this restaurant critic dinner. And then Vittorio's cousin,
Mario.
Thank you. Yep. I should have known it was just Mario.
It's a him.
It's a me,
Mario.
So then he goes up and gestures to have Columbo come up since he doesn't speak English.
Right.
And Columbo's like, I'm going to find his murderer.
By tomorrow night,
yeah.
His and murderer will be in handcuffs or something like that.
To invite Gerard over to have like one last dinner with him.
Yes.
Like basically to cook with him at Vittoria's restaurant. And then the next scene that we see Gerard in, he is prepping the fucking poison again.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you're going to murder a cop? Have you thought about this?
Yeah. Do you think he hasn't told anyone that he's going to meet you?
Yeah. You think that he hasn't like laid this out to the other guys that he works with? Come on, dude.
So
what's wrong with, I mean, anyway, but so then while Columbo is cooking in this scene, he sort of lays out, you know, that he's clearly figured out how it happened.
Right.
And he does this basically after it's very clear that like they never show us.
No, they don't show him.
It's very clear.
They don't show him swapping.
It's very clear that he's poisoned Columbo's wine.
Yes. And like, they keep going
from
back
the way that he behaves.
And they keep going back to the cork thing enough. They signal it enough that you kind of know what it is, I think, before.
Yeah, you know what's up. Yeah. And so Columbo drinks from his glass.
Right.
And then proceeds to lay out this is how I figured it out, you know, because Gerard is like, no, you don't have any evidence.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I figured he switched them because he must have switched them back after after the cook had refilled a CO2 cartridge.
Yeah. But he's already drunk his wine. We the audience are led sort of to believe that Columbo has already been poisoned and is about to die. I mean, we don't believe that because obviously
it's Columbo, and they're not going to murder him like that.
But like that is sort of the stakes of this scene is that the wine is poisoned and Columbo has already drank some.
And then he does the thing where Gerard goes to drink from his glass and he says, don't do that because I switched the glasses and that's the poisoned one.
Yeah.
So why don't you just hand that to me over here so I can give that to the boys at the lab?
Yep.
And it's a great little scene, but it brings me to a thing I wanted to mention, which is there are two things that I feel were clearly inspired by this episode.
Okay. Is one of them Princess Bride?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The Princess Bride, Iocane Powder feels super inspired by this scene.
It's interesting at the very least that Peter Falk is in that, and then in this other very iconic poison powder switching scene.
So there is that, but also the moment that Fugu was up and there was a chef talking about the sushi and everything, I immediately went, somebody who wrote for The Simpsons saw this episode because. There is a Simpsons episode where Homer eats fugu and then doesn't know if it was properly prepared or not and spends like the next 24 hours thinking he's going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like there's nothing else that I can think of that was in that era that would have been a like, oh, hey, you know, here's this. I mean, maybe it was a fad and I missed that.
I mean, this episode came out about 10 years probably before that episode of The Simpsons. So it's very possible. I mean, Columbo ran in reruns for a very long time. Yeah. It's not really available very, very many places now, but it used to be all over the place.
It used to be on constantly. I know. Yeah. I mean, I remember it being on all the time at my grandmother's.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would say that it likely did inspire.
Yeah.
Those things.
I'm pretty sure that at the very least, the Simpsons thing is certainly taken from this.
I think it's okay. You say something, my brain shut down.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if we're gonna say something, I don't know. I mean, we really covered a lot of the amazing, ridiculous things.
Yes.
In this episode. But
we do learn a couple nuggets about Mrs. Columbo. This universe, universe's Mrs. Columbo. She doesn't cook, and she misses the dinner because she is taking her final in her night school for accounting. She's going to try to be an accountant, apparently. Okay. Yes.
All right.
So very obviously, this is them drawing their line in the sand against Kate Columbo. She is not a reporter. She is going to night school to be an accountant.
Yep.
So
she's
different
she's
person
night
altogether.
School for, right. Not a reporter trying to be an accountant.
It's
ridiculous. No. No. The other thing I was going to bring up is clothing.
That's what I was about to ask you about. Yeah. So obviously Louis Jourdan looks great throughout this entire thing.
Yeah. There are a couple of like standouts. Like when he shows up to the restaurant. Not just his outfit, which I'll break down in a hot second, but Albert, the chef,
yes.
the cook.
Yeah.
Shout out to Albert's unbelievable shirt.
Yeah.
Do you remember the shirt?
I don't.
He was
I mean, I can.
Scene?
I can go. I can find it. This is the wonderful thing about having the entire episode in front of me is that I can scroll through and find it. But you talk about it, and I'll look for it.
You'll know it because it's like paisley, and then a couple of other patterns, and it's I think like a satin shirt. It's just all of these things where I'm like, wow, dude, you really swung for the fences.
Yeah. Wow.
You see what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna put full screen this. Yeah. So it's like. There's like a cross in the middle, like of stripes that like comes to a point, like sort of in the middle of his sternum, and then the rest is like a paisley bandana print, kind of almost.
Yeah, it's a hot mess.
It's a whole lot of stuff, and plus then he's got just the chef's hat on top, which
yep.
is
yeah,
a wonderful just, end to that kind of wonderful.
It's the weirdest thing. But so Gerard, when we see him like doing the photo shoot, he's wearing like a classic, you know, tuxedo, and that's just. That's perfect.
Yeah.
When he goes to Vittorio Rossi's for dinner and to get yelled at and to murder, he's wearing like a brown striped suit.
Mm-hmm.
And that suit is, you know, like the kind of classic 70s sort of thing where like there's little extended shoulder. It's got the very broad lapels and it's swept and kind of nipped at the waist. And then it's got kind of like flared trousers. But like those all look really good on him. He's a very svelte.
He's
gentleman.
Very trim and very like yeah, perfect yeah. for that 70s apparel.
Yeah, you know, and it's got the same, you know, like the shirt has the big collar and the tie is enormous, and I think it's a brown. I want to say it's a brown like knit tie.
Yeah,
like, it's a very good.
It is. I'm looking at
put
it right
together.
Now.
Yeah, put together suit for the 70s.
Yes,
and then when they're in the market, the scene with the mango.
Yes. When he meets him at the restaurant and he's got this cardigan over a pink
he's wearing a V-neck V-neck sweater that is like super fine, you know, it's an ultra fine that's like stretched over his body really, and then yeah that pink dress shirt under it, and then just some like sharp chinos, like again it's a very clean, very refined sort of look. There's also when he's wearing glasses at one point, I think when he's at his desk at home.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting, like I couldn't put a name to it, but there's like a famous French like fashion designer that wore, you know, I mean they're kind of like Charles Nelson Reilly glasses, but
yeah, they're big, they're big chunky ones.
Yeah, those large square frames, and that's definitely, you know, that's clearly taken from, you know, a French fashion icon because they were, you know, clearly. Trying to make sure that they signaled, you know, that he was French and very well put together and all of these things. And
probably from his clothes.
Oh, yeah, very likely to be things he already
probably
owned.
His actual glasses.
Yep. And then the other big thing I was just going to shout out to was the fact that for that dinner at the end, Columbo's wearing a tuxedo that like fits and looks
yes.
really good on him.
Yep.
And then his hair is actually like well-kempt yep. in that.
It's big and kind of crazy, but still, but like yeah. dressed out in a well.
Yeah, but there's a very clean part in it. And yeah, then when yes. they pan over to like where Albert.
Albert
and the other restaurant owner, they're wearing like those ruffled tuxedo shirts
right.
with theirs. Like it's,
yeah.
it was very good. But yeah, Gerard is like, all of his outfits are really sharp. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised to see that Columbo was, you know, actually wearing a tuxedo that fit nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that he hasn't done it before. Yeah, he has. You know,
it's one of those things, those sort of surprising things, though, when you see him, you know, cleaned up and you realize,
it's easy to forget.
He can.
Because we're constantly seeing him, like...
Well, and the very next scene is him in this, like, very, like, unbuttoned, his normal dress shirt, like, kind of dirty and stained and not looking great.
Yep. Although I really love when he is in the restaurant, like, in the actual kitchen, and the chef brings over, you know, the stuffed mushrooms and all of that. And he's like, oh, can I try to plate this thing? And it's just like, dude, wash your hands.
Yeah, nobody like, washes their hands at any point in this episode. Not a single person, like, at any point, like, sanitizes anything. Or it's
that whole scene, I was just like, no, you're too close to it. You're breathing on someone's food.
It's Please really horrifying. Yeah, he's got his, you know, cigar-y sort of nicotine fingers, like, right in somebody's...
You could smoke indoors in the 70s, so probably nobody could smell that anyway.
Yeah,
but
oh boy, But I think this is a great episode. I would recommend somewhat that if you're going to watch it, that you eat before you do so, because there is enough food talk to actually make you feel hungry, even though a lot of the food talk is kind of disgusting. some of it is gross, but there's enough that a little bit of it'll penetrate through and it'll probably make you hungry.
I love, one of the things that I wrote down was just in all caps, I was a friend of Vittorio's. Give food.
Yeah.
Because that happens so much.
That's 90%
of the episode.
Anytime
you see someone, it's just, It's like code. It's like, I was a friend of Vittorio's.
But I think that'll do it. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is a new thing for us. If you like our new thing, let us know. If you don't like it, too bad, because this is what it is now. So
this is what we got to work with.
Please go ahead and tell your friends that there's a new podcast in town, and it's an old podcast that's been around for a while.
Meet the new boss.
Same as the old boss. All right. This has been Columbo's.
Columbo.
It's been a little while. Been a little while.
Columbo's.
We're getting back into it.
That's
probably a better name for this podcast. All right. Thanks.
More accurate.
Thanks for listening. This has been Columbo's. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing, sir.
Yeah.
Bonjour and bon snacks.
Columbo's is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at Dandy Geek. The Columbo's theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.